And amen to what the Lord can do in our lives. Yes, Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that this is your day. We thank you, Lord, that we are your people. And Father God, that you richly want to bless us, encourage us, enable us. So we lift up the individuals that are represented, Father God, through prayers. We lift up those that are seeking your face, and we stand in the gap with them. And we say, according to your plan and purpose, let it be yes and amen. Amen? Amen. Good. Okay. As I tend to forget about part of our worship is our giving. So we have an offering box over there. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for your provision. We want to thank you for your grace over our lives, that you give us breath in our lungs, you give us food in our stomachs, you give us a purpose, a plan. So we thank you, Father God, for an opportunity to be able to give into your kingdom. So bless us, we pray. Amen. Okay, one more notice before I get into God's word, just to say you may have realized that the screen is broken. It's come down. We need to adjust the projector, put a new screen up, and we'll sort that out, hopefully, when my glamorous assistant finds a replacement. So that's why it is the way it is. Is everything clear so far? Perfectly. Good. Then I will begin. I want to cover a subject that I know that I've struggled with over the years, and maybe you have. And it simply is, you may not be able to see some of these scriptures because the screen's not lined up. It's simply the will of God. How many of us, you don't need to put your hands up, how many of us at some point in our Christian walk is going, I want to do the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. And, you know, who do I marry? Who do I don't marry? What job do I get? Where do I go? What church do I say, Lord, I want to plant myself in? What area? What town? And we're looking for God to answer. Or is it just me? What's your will, Lord? And I've looked at this subject over the years, and I've been challenged by it. And do you know what? I come to realize that what a man wants, he wants. I'll explain. When I was younger, there was a car that I wanted, and it was a total rust bucket. Total rust bucket, but I wanted it. And I paid good money for it, and I ended up scrapping it. Why? Because I was looking with my eyes and not searching with my heart. And sometimes it's like that with the will of God. For some people at some times, and I'm not saying this is wrong, we look for a door. We go, oh, the door's open, so I'm going to walk through it. Sometimes we look for a sign, and someone says something in a worship song, and we think, ah, that's God's word to us. Sometimes we're in a prayer meeting, and there's someone says, I believe the Lord is saying, and we think, ah, that's a direct word from God confirming what he wants me to do. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. However, a man wants what a man wants. So often we've already made our mind up. And I look through my life and I know that I'm in the will of God, and I'm sure you are too. So I want to go through some scriptures. I just want to challenge us, encourage us. And there are some things that are obvious. You know, Lord, do you want me to get into immorality? No, that's the will of God. Lord, do you want me to plant myself in the church that preaches heresy and it goes anti-Christ? No. Well, you're in the will of God. So there are certain things we know Scripture says if we choose to listen to it. Sometimes we just want to be around familiarity, and that's not always a bad thing, but sometimes God wants to take us out of our comfort zone and plant us somewhere else. I believe that if we are open to what God's Word says, that we will realize that if we're doing certain things and we have a certain heart relationship with God, we will be in the will of the Lord. In Genesis, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures out today, so I know that I have a time limit, and I'm just going to read them because there's so much. I could just pluck out one or two and say that, speak to the pastor, he'll pray for you and you'll find the will of God. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible's already given us answers to certain things. So I hope we have ears that will hear and eyes that will see. As we read these, they're up on the screen, so you know it's coming from his word, not just from my heart. In Genesis 1:29, it says this, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant. He's talking to humanity here, talking to Adam and Eve. Every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, and they will be yours for food. God's will is that we feed upon what he's already given us. We don't need to look to the right or to the left. He's already provided the seeds, the plants, the nourishment is already there. He's given it to us and said, go, multiply, go, enjoy. God's will for you is to acknowledge the creation that's around us. So we know and we can understand in Genesis 9, verse 16, it says this, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Part of God's will is that we understand his covenantal relationship. Do you know what? There's things in Scripture that God cannot violate his own law. There's a law out there. God cannot sin. God cannot not punish sin. That's why there's a redemption. That's why there's a way out of. That's why he said, you don't sacrifice bulls and calves, but I've come. I've come that I may sacrifice myself, that I may shed my blood, that you may be cleansed. But there's a covenant that God has, and it's a covenant to all creation. You know, there's times we'll see floods in certain parts of the world. There's times where there'll be torrential rain. But you know what? Part of God's will is that you understand his word. And by understanding his word, you know that he's not going to cover the earth again completely like he did when he wiped out most of humanity apart from the animals and the people that were in the ark. There's a covenant that God has. Part of God's will is that we understand his word. That's quite simple, isn't it? You know, what's the will of God for me? To understand his word. What's the will of God to me? To understand his covenant that he has with me. And a covenant is a binding relationship. God cannot violate his own law. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. How often do we hear this? You know, when someone's going through a tough time, we'll pray this prayer. We'll say, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's part of God's plan for your life. Then it goes on to say, then you will call on me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, it's true. The first part of God's plan for you is to prosper you and not to harm you. Part of God's will is that you seek him so that you can find him, that you speak to him so that you can listen to what he has to say. You go back to the garden and it's a relationship. So part of God's will is that you prosper. You prosper in all you do, that you attain the best that he has for you. But there's times I suggest that you'll go through trial and tribulation. But we know that the scripture says trial and tribulation produces character, character, hope. Hope will not disappoint. But one of the things that the Lord wants for us is that we will call on him. We will pray to him. He will listen to us. We will seek him and we'll find him when we seek him with all of our heart. Lord, I can't hear you in this situation. Are you seeking him? Part of God's will is that we seek him. Part of God's will is that we look into his word. What does his word say about this? Some years ago, we had a teenager that came to Susan and I. Well, she came to me first and she said, I want to go out with this boy. He's not a Christian. He's a bit of a bad lad. I think I can persuade him to become a Christian. Should I do it? And we went, no. So she goes to Susan. She says the same thing. Is it part of God's will? No. She goes to someone else. Is it part of God's will? No. She leaves the church and goes to another church, and someone tells her it's part of God's will. What does God's word say? Do not be unequally yoked. Now, there's times that we're in circumstances and situations, and it's difficult to do that. You know, I married my wife. Neither of us were Christians. So if Susan became a Christian and I didn't, the Bible will say we're unevenly yoked, but we're to love each other, encourage each other. Fortunately, he brought us together. But the will of God is written in his word. He wants to prosper us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to bless us, but he wants us to be on straight street. In Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So it's part of God's will that we're not transformed by the pattern of this world. You see, there's a blueprint that this world says you should live to. This world says it's all about me, myself, and I. It's all about take. God's word says it's all about giving. It's all about receiving, but also about blessing. It's all about being blessed, but to be a blessing to others. It says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to think of things differently. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. See, they're not my words, they're his words. His good and pleasing and perfect will. So if we have a right way of thinking, the Bible teaches that we'll understand what God's will is. So part of God's will for my life is to be a good steward of what he gives me. So this was before I was a Christian, this before my brain developed properly. It wasn't in God's plan that I was a bad steward by buying a car that fell to bits and I eventually lost lots of money. That's not in God's plan. That's not part of God's will for my life. As a Christian, that's not part of God's will for my life. He calls me to be a good steward of what he gives me. So I need to have my mind transformed. How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. By reading his word, by meditating on his truths, by asking him to speak to us through his heart and through our heart relationship and through the word of scripture. See, everything we had, the Bible says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Even the stuff we don't want, it's useful for encouraging, correcting, directing, and enabling us to go forward. So scripture has a lot to say about the will of God, I suggest. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's part of God's will, that we trust in him. You know, there's things in our lives where we want to do the opposite of what God's word says. And I'm not on my own. I know other people struggle with this as well. But you see, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. It's not just what I think. What does God say? What does God say about this situation? So if we're looking to move, if we're looking to be redirected, if we're looking to move forward, go right or left, to marry this person, to take this job, we need to know that as we seek the Lord and we lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways we submit to him and he will make our paths, your paths straight. What that means is what is high he'll bring low and what is low he'll bring high, so you have a straight street to walk on. God's purpose and plan in our lives, part of his will is that you should have a pathway that is not blocked by our own attitudes, not blocked by the past. You see, things in the past can come up in the present, and if not, they can affect our future if they're not dealt with. But I suggest part of the will of God is to trust him, to trust what his word says, and lean not on our own understanding. We know this to be true. If you have a child of a certain age and they're up on a high platform and you say, jump, daddy's going to catch you, they'll jump. Why? Because they trust you. They'll jump. But so often when we grow up, the Lord says jump and we don't trust him. But his word says part of his will for our lives, part of his will for your life is to trust him. You know, we can surround ourselves with wise people, wise counsel. There can be men and women who have a prophetic edge to them. There can be men and women who have this pastoral strength about them. They care, they understand. You can have someone who sings beautifully, someone who preaches in a way that the people outside walking by get saved because there's anointing. However, as good as that is, there's nothing that will substitute God's word. What does God's word say? Trust me, it says. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And that word submission, you know, when I was younger, my brother used to get my arm and put it on my back and say, do you submit? And I did. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't get your arm and push it up your back and say, submit, submit. He says, listen, I have a plan. I have a future for you. Submit your ways to my ways, and I will lead you on a straight street. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. In the nearly 20 years of pastoral ministry that God has blessed me in, I think I've preached on finances in a sermon dedicated to finances probably twice in 19, 20 years. But there is a truth that runs through Scripture. And if we're not careful, we will lose something. Because it's not about you giving money to me so that I can be paid. It's about saying, Lord, this is yours. I'm sowing it into your kingdom. I'm trusting your people with it that it will produce a harvest. And when I was a young Christian, I just got saved. I had nothing. Susan and I were virtually bankrupt. We were going to lose our home. We had young children. And the church wanted me to give. How can I give out of what I don't have? And I didn't for many, many months, even maybe a couple of years. And then the Lord just spoke to my heart. And I read a scripture that says, agree an amount that you want to give me and be a cheerful giver. Plant it. And I started to plant it. And my testimony is this. I'm uneducated. I'm dyslexic. I wasn't good at anything. No one picked me for anything because I was not very good at it. But God chose me. And God chooses you. And he encouraged me to give into his kingdom. I saw my tithe go from £5 to having noughts on the end of it. Why? Because the Lord blessed me in the small things and he gave me the increase. But there had to be a lifestyle. And the reason I bring this up is because it says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And if we're a people that don't want to give to the Lord, don't give. Don't give. But if we want to honor him, then let's do what he wants us to do, not what the pastor convinces us to do. Let's see what his word says. Dig into it. Be a cheerful giver. Make a decision. Say, Lord, I'm honoring you with my wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled. I didn't give in order to get back. Many preachers, they'll say, give the Lord £10, I'll give you 100 back. There may be some truth in that, but that's not why we do it. We do it because we want to sow into the Lord's kingdom. And we know that he will bless us. And there's seed time and harvest. And we sow seeds for maybe 10, 15 years. And there's a time of need and God gives us a harvest. There's a truth. Part of God's will is for us to submit in all things. I remember for me, and I'm not saying it's for you, true, but it was true for me. I would see areas of my life and I'd say, Lord, I'm giving you this area of my life, but don't touch this. I didn't want the Lord to touch the area of pain of losing my dad when I was 11. I didn't want him to touch that. I hid that away. I didn't want him to touch the area of people doing wrong to me. I didn't want him to touch that. But he could have my finances. I never had a problem after I dealt with it. He can have my time. Never had a problem. Had my talents. I'll serve you, Lord. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. Dig a hole. How deep? But don't touch this part of my life. Well, it's not until we surrender this part of our life to the Lord that he can do anything in it. And for me, there was an elderly couple that used to pray for me on a regular basis. And many years ago, when I'm now 65 December, and I was 30. And I walked into church and this lady said, Andrew, I've been praying for you today and I had you on my heart. And I won't go through the details, but through that service, I ended up on the floor. And I ended up shouting at the top of my voice to God. Bear in mind, I'd never cried from the age of 11 to the age of 30. And I shouted and I complained and I told God I wanted my dad back. And by doing that, something was released within me. I gave God my heart. It was broken and he mended it. See, there's a Bible that says, he that falls upon the rock will be broken, but he that the rock falls upon will be crushed. Well, as I was broken, God mended me. Does that make sense? As we give God our vulnerabilities, it's part of the will of the Lord that we share. He knows us. But it's not until we say, Lord, help me, that he comes to help. Because why would God want to do something that you don't want him to do? I don't want you to touch this part of my life. Then he won't. Why? Because he's a just God. He's a loving God, but he'll wait because he's a patient God. So as I ended up on the floor as this 30-year-old, just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, I haven't stopped crying since. I cry at Lassie films now. It's embarrassing. You know, someone will tell me a story and I just weep. What's wrong? Nothing. I look at somebody and I can see the pain in their eyes and I start to cry and I'm going, God, why? Why? Because I surrendered that part of my life. And I want to encourage you. If you're struggling, you don't need to share it with me. Just share it with the Lord. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm broken. And he'll say, good, now I can mend you. Because it's not until you fall and realize your brokenness, that I can lift you up and knit you back together. So that's part of the will of the Lord, to honor him with our finances, to honor him with our body, to allow him to work through the good, the bad, and the indifferent parts of our life. And as we look through Scripture, it's full of encouragement. It's full of goodness. In Hebrews 10:35, it says this, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." So in this portion of Scripture, it gives you the, God always gives us the answer. So we're going, okay, what we would see is this. When you've done the will of God, what's the will of God? To persevere. You see how it gives you the answer? It says this, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Persevere. Keep going. You know, Scripture says this, I see Scripture in a very poetic way, and the Lord blesses me with the way he enables me to see things. And I remember reading the portion of Scripture where Jesus is in the garden. He knows he's going to be crucified. He's going to go through excruciating pain. He's going to bleed and he's going to die, but he's going to be resurrected. He's going to be brought back to that situation where we can say, because he died, he became the first fruits. But he's not dead, is he? He's in heaven. But it says this, he was in anguish. The Bible says that he was so tormented that he sweat drops of blood, that there was an anxiety, an anguish that was going on inside of Jesus Christ. And then it says, going a little further, he fell on his knees and prayed. And that's what perseverance is. It's when we're going through that time of anguish, that time of, I can't do this anymore. Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it on my own. He says, persevere. When you persevere as part of the will of God, there is a promise. Your trial and tribulation, as I said before, there is a promise that God has for each one of us. And that's to love us and encourage us and never leave us. They're his promises. But you know what? If you take your hand out of his hand and walk away from him, he's going to be standing there waiting for you to come back. He will not change, but you have. You've walked away, but he's staying there going, come. Like the parable of the prodigal, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's saying this son squandered everything that he was given by his father. He squandered it, yet his father was there waiting for him. Not only was he waiting for him, he gave him his inheritance back again in the sense of he gave him that relationship. He stood there, he waited, he put on the garment, he put on the ring, he put on the shoes. He had a party. He said, this is the fattened calf. I've been waiting for this day because my son was dead. Now he's alive again. So we need to interpret what God's will for our lives is. Is part of his will is that you see him as a father, not as an institutional big brother that wants to hit you with a stick. That if I do this, God's going to beat me. Do you know what? Part and parcel of God's will is that we know him. And if you know him, it's like I say to church, if you know me, if you really know me, if somebody said something that was out of character, you would be able to say, that's not my pastor, because I know him. But if you don't know me, you'll believe anything that anyone else tells you about me. And if you don't know God, you'll believe what other people tell you about him. You need to know him. That's part of his will. That's part of his will. And he's coming back for a victorious church. That's part of his will for your life. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God just doesn't look for the tall. He doesn't look for the articulate. He doesn't just go after the rich or just after the poor or after the weak or just after the strength. He doesn't go after those that read their Bibles and those that don't read their Bibles. He still goes after them. He don't go after those that think that they know who God is. And he don't go after those that don't and reject God. He goes after all people. That's part of the will of God. Part of the will of God. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is, though, not all people will, but he wants all people to. So should we talk to the neighbor that rubs us up the wrong way? Yes. Should we be kind to those that are unkind to us? Yes. Should we give to those that we think don't deserve it? Yes. Why? Because it's part of the will of God. Because as we give, because of our relationship to God, we receive because we have a covenant relationship with Him. It's part of the will of God. So if you want to know what God's will is, just read His word. He will guide you. He will direct you. I hope it makes sense in certain areas as we look through God's word together in Hebrews 10:35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. I put that in a second time because I want us to understand that God wants you and me to persevere. He wants us to move forward. In 1 Timothy, it tells us what the will of God is for all people to be saved. In Hebrews 10, I reminded you just a moment ago about persevering. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says this. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, don't misinterpret that portion of scripture. It says give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Oh Lord, I've just lost my job, thank you. That's not what it's saying. Oh Lord, I'm in hospital again, thank you. That's not what it's saying. It says while you're in hospital, say, Lord, you have a plan for me to prosper me and not to harm me. Lord, give me an opportunity to get closer to you. Lord, I'm in this hospital bed for the next 2 days, 3 days. Give me an opportunity to get closer to you. Show me, Father God, what it is I can do for other people. Help me to pray for those that are in a worse condition than me. Lord, I thank you. Do you see the difference? You're praying in the circumstance, not for the circumstance. Lord, I've lost my job. Father God, you know there's a job waiting for me. I thank you that it will be better, it will be well paid. It will be an opportunity to be able to use my skill and talents. Father God, you're praying in your circumstance, not for your circumstance. So it's part of God's will that we give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not just my words, but what He says. And that word will means will. It means His plan, His purpose for you is that you give thanks wherever you are. But I don't feel like it. Well, we don't go on our feelings, do we? We go on faith. You know, Scripture is built one brick on one brick, one truth on one truth. It's built into this spiritual house. You are a brick, I am a brick. We come together as this spiritual temple. We have the Holy Spirit that lives in us because we're a temple of the Lord. God's will for our lives is that we give thanks in the circumstances, even though we may be in the treacle of life. And I know that sounds triumphant, and you might think, well, that's okay for you to say, Pastor. Well, I'm not going to share everything, but there are lots of times in my life, and one in particular where I just spoke to the Lord in a very unhealthy way and just said, I can't do this anymore. I'm out, finished, done. And do you know what His word said to me as I read it? I won't give you more than you can bear. How infuriating is that when I just want to rant and rave? But part of God's will is that I listen to what His word says. And that's what He wants us to do. His will for your life. God's will in your life is that you know Him. That you persevere. That you're encouraged. In Hebrews 13:20 it says this. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Then it goes on. Equip you with everything good for doing His will. See, God's will for your life is that you allow Him to equip you. But He can't equip you if He doesn't know you. Bear with me if I go over my allotted time. But there was a lady who lived near me. And she was a nice individual. But you had to be careful who was listening when she was speaking. She was quite rough around the edges. And she would argue with her neighbors, and she wasn't a nice person in the community, but God loves her. God knows her. And she said to me one day, so explain to me this about this Jesus that you believe in. You know, why do I need to do this? And a story came into my mind, and I hope I can remember it rightly. And I said, you have a son? She says, yes, I do. Do you love him? Yes, I do. Would you do anything for him? Yes, I would. Now just imagine your son is playing in your back garden with a football. He kicks it, and he kicks it against the fence, and he kicks it over the fence, and he kicks it into his neighbor's garden through his greenhouse window. You go around the neighbor and you say, look, I'm really sorry, I'll pay for the damages. He said, I don't have a problem for you paying for the damages, but I don't want your son to ever come round this house. I think she would say, well, if you can't accept my son, then you can't accept me. Well, that's the same with God. If you can't accept my son, you can't accept me. You know, there's a peace through the blood of the eternal covenant. That's that relationship we can have with Jesus Christ. No one knows the Father except through the Son. But he wants to equip you with everything good for doing his will. And you may, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I want to do it your way. Part of God's will for your life is that you know him, that you persevere, and that you allow him to equip you for every good work. You know, there are things that you are naturally good at, and there's things that you're not naturally good at. God will equip you. I was never naturally good at much. I had a big mouth, that's not changed. I had a loud voice, that's not changed. But I didn't know anything about anything. And God gave me a new mind. He allowed me to read his word so that I could digest it and receive it in my heart. So out of the overflow of the heart, my mouth will speak. But if I haven't got it in, it won't come out. Part of the will of God is that we digest his word so that we can regurgitate it, so that we can live on it, we can feed on it. It's the spiritual food. But he wants to equip you. I can't do this, but you want to. Lord, strengthen me. Encourage me. Help me. Lord, you've forgiven me. I want to forgive them. Help me walk that way you want me to walk. And there are times that we will make decisions and they'll be the right decisions. And other times we'll make decisions and they'll be the wrong decisions. But as we seek the will of God and we look through his word, we'll see that he wants to bless us, encourage us, enable us. And he wants us to walk with him. In Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. You know, I got to a point in my life where I died to self. If you're a Christian, you got to that same point where you died to self and you was born to God. You see, that's what born again means. It means there's a part of our life which is dormant, is dead to the Spirit of God. We can't understand spiritual things because we're not spiritually enlightened, if you like. We're not awakened to that. But when we say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, cleanse me, Father God, clothe me, enable me, fill me with your Spirit, he comes and dwells with inside of me. So the old me dies and the new me is resurrected. When we look at baptism, that's an outward symbol of an inward work. We're dead in our sins and transgressions. And as we go under the water, we are buried. And as we come up, we are born afresh of his Spirit. See, God wants us to be those that will follow him, those that will understand there is trial and tribulation, and there's times where God just calls us to carry it. Well, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Look at the life of Jesus. Could you imagine? You know, if you've ever seen some of the Monty Python sketches, they go, what are the Romans? What have they ever done for us? Yeah, well, apart from that. Well, apart from the roads and the hot water and apart from the drainage. Well, apart from that, what the Romans ever done for us? We, if we're not careful, can go, God, you don't understand. You don't understand what it is to be short of finances, doesn't he? He has to go fishing to find money. You don't know what it is to be falsely accused. Read scripture. You don't know what it is to be stared at. Really? You don't know what it is to be beaten. See, God knows because he took our infirmities. He took all our sins and he put them on himself. So he wants us to understand that as we die to our own plans and purposes, he can breathe life into his through us. So part of God's will is for us to get to know him, to persevere, to understand. I'm getting to the end. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. Part of God's will for our life is that we don't stumble by not having our lives illuminated by his word. You see, his word is a light in the darkness. It's true. His word is a light in the darkness. Lord, I can't see any way forward. As we pray, as we meditate, as we seek him, he opens up a way. We suddenly see the things we couldn't see before. It was in darkness, now it's brought into the light. Part of God's will is that we shine for him, that we enable him to work in us and through us. In James 1:5, it says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generally to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Part of God's will is that when we need wisdom, we ask. Lord, I need wisdom in this. I have a situation with my son, with my daughter, with my husband, with my wife, with my friend, with my enemy, with my employer, with my employee, with my pastor, with my elder, with whatever it may be. Lord, I have a problem here. Give me wisdom. Because we can have wisdom of the world, and we can have wisdom of the word. It's a message I preached on about 28 years ago, which was the wisdom of the world that says, you do it your way, or the wisdom of the word that says, you do it my way, his way, God's way, Yahweh. Yes? So part of his will for your life is, as you're seeking, if you seek, when you seek, is that you ask for wisdom. You say, Lord, you give me wisdom. Wisdom is found when we look into his word. So it's part of God's will for your life. In Proverbs 3:5, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body." This God's word, we repeat it, we understand it, we believe it, we digest it, and we see him at work in our lives. Part of his will for our lives is to seek him, to seek wisdom, to seek understanding. 1 Peter 2:15. "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves." So as we are a slave to the Lord, we are free men and free women. It talks about giving to those that we need to give to. Pastor Ken, who comes and ministers monthly here, he says, we do good because it's good to do. Why should I do that? Because it's good to do it. You know, if it's something that you don't want to do, God gives you freedom not to do it. But if you are going to do it, be a cheerful giver. Be someone that wants to do good because it's good to do. You know what, there's something, a simple illustration where the Lord slapped me on the head one day. I'm in my car. I bet you've never done this. It's just me. I'm in a car and I'm going down the road and I see someone trying to get out and no one's letting them out. So I thought, I'll flash, let them out. So they come out. And do you know what? They don't even say thank you. They don't even put their hand up or put their hazards on. So I started to grumble. Huh, it's the last time I do that. And you can imagine, if the Lord was to speak to me audibly, which he didn't, it was me speaking to me. Well, why did you do that, Andrew? Because I wanted to. Well, why are you complaining then? You see, it's good to do good because it's good to do. So we need to make a choice. It doesn't matter if we don't get rewarded here on earth. We have an eternal inheritance. Part of God's will is for us to do good because we choose to do it. So as you go forward, I know this will challenge us, but it will encourage us. It will release us. In Matthew 6, verse 10, "For the kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you." Why should I forgive? Because God forgives us. Part of God's will is that we keep short accounts with him and we keep short accounts with each other. You want to know what God's will is? There it is. Part of his will is to keep short accounts with one another. But they don't deserve it. Well, no, nor do you, nor do I. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his grace. But now I'm a Christian. I take everything he offers me because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And God wants to encourage us, to bless us. Ephesians 5:15. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days of evil are coming." Part of God's will is that we make the best of every opportunity. You know, so often we can miss God's blessing because we wait too long before we accept it. You know, there was a neighbor of mine, and he wanted to bless me. And I was proud. I was proud. I would do anything for anyone else, but I didn't like receiving off people because I didn't like to owe anyone anything. Now, that's pride, because I was looking at it in false motives, because I didn't trust people. But he wanted to give to me because he was a Christian man and he wanted to love me and encourage me. He wanted to provide for me at that moment, and I rejected him. Why? Because I was looking with false motives. I need to be wise, make the most of every opportunity. I need to say, someone wants to bless me, I'm going to receive that blessing. I'm going to let it die into me, and I'm going to let it produce more than what it was given. And I'm going to give out of the overflow. You see, God wants us to be wise. That's part of his will. That's part of his encouragement for you and me. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So even when we get it wrong, God is slow in waiting for the response because he loves you. Part of his will is to restore you. We want to know the will of God. Let's look into the word of God. Let's receive the wisdom of God. 1 John 1:9, it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, purify us from all ungodliness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and the word is not in us. Part of God's will is that we confess our sins to him. I'm not a priest. You don't need to come to me and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. You go to him. You keep short accounts with him. And as you confess your sins to him, he is faithful and just. And part of his will is that he forgives you. And part of your responsibility is that you accept it. So there's a lot to be said about the will of God. So whenever you say, I want to do the will of God, look into the word of God. In Micah 6:8, it says this: he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? So we want to know the will of God. We can look in this portion of scripture and he can tell us quite plainly, what's your will for my life? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Simple, isn't it? But we complicate it because we think we should do much more than that. Well, surely if I do this, or if I give this much more money, Lord, if I give 15% of my income to you, then surely, no, it simply says, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. And as we do these things, we'll see what the will of God is. That he gives us an opportunity to forgive others. He gives us an opportunity to receive his grace. He gives us an opportunity to give generously into his kingdom out of a heart relationship. But first thing he wants us is to know him. He wants us to know him. That's his will for your life and my life, I suggest. In Hebrews 10 verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We need to persevere. As we look into his word, we find his will. I want to repeat Micah again. What does the Lord require? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. And you know what? I'll leave you with this final. I had a phone call from a friend of mine in America. He used to fellowship with us until he went back to the States. And we keep in touch, and he's had some tough times. One of his sons committed suicide. He lost his business in COVID. His marriage failed. And he rung me up, and I tried to encourage him to get back on the horse, to not blame God, to trust the Lord. And he rang me up, and he says, Andrew, I want to be in the will of God. I want to do the will of God. Can you help me? And what do you say to someone at that time? Because normally we'll pray and we'll try and guide and direct. But you know what? This is the simple will of God for his life. And I suggest it's the simple will of God for your life and for my life. And I said to this man, do you attend a church? He said, yes. I said, have you planted yourself? He said, yes. Are you accountable? Yes. Do you give of your income? Yes. Your time? Yes. Your talents? Yes. Well, you're in the will of God. Because the truth is this, if you have an opportunity and the job opportunity is to go right or left and you're not quite sure and you go right and it doesn't quite work out, God says, come back and go left. He'll bless you wherever you are. He'll either bless you by showing you that this is where I want you to go, or he'll give you perseverance in it. If we persevere when we're in this doodah, if we persevere here, if we give and we forgive and we receive while we're in this place, he'll move us on to the other. When the Lord brought me into a position where I could go self-employed, for the first 12 months of this self-employment, I earned much more than what I did when I was employed. And then the second year, I lost everything. I had 25% of my income left. That's it. All gone. Just because of what man did. Not my foolishness, but man. So I go home and I'm in these floods of tears. And I'm saying, what am I going to do? I've got a mortgage and I've got to pay this. And Susan looks at me, my wife, and she just says this. She says, who pays your wages, man or God? Trick question, isn't it? If you're a Christian... That's a trick question, isn't it? If you say man, then you're a hypocrite. If you say God, then you've got to believe him, haven't you? So I says, God. She says, well, trust him. Yeah, but. So I trusted him. And you know what? God used my inability to be my ability. He used my dyslexia when I did figures. I applied for a contract and it should have been 4,000, and because of the way my mind was working, I quoted 9,000, got the job. That 9,000 went to 15,000, went to 40,000, and so on and so on. See, God will bless you where you are if you submit to him. It wasn't about how good I was, how righteous I was. It's how good and righteous he is. You see, if I took a wrong turning, he enabled me to seek wisdom, discernment, understanding. If I can be faithful in the small things, if I can still give when I had very little, if I can still serve when I was in a bad position, if I can still bless my wife when I didn't want to, if I could take encouragement when it was given, if I could receive other people's help and other people's prayers, then I'm in the will of God. So God will bless you where you are. I hope some of this made sense. We're going to close in prayer, finish in worship, and have fellowship. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you that your word is truth, that, Lord, we want to walk in your will. So help us to be humble. Help us to rely on your words, not our words. Help us to seek your face. Help us to ask for wisdom. Help us to be discerning and have understanding. And, Lord, if we make a wrong turn, then encourage us to stand and submit to you. We ask you to bless us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. And God's people said, Amen.